Father, we thank you for this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the time in your word. We pray, Jesus, that you will visit us and help us. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Powerful. Amen. All right, I'm going to share with you, or continue sharing with you, on how to pray. Amen. Amen. We are still in a 527 season, and we're sharing from the book How to Pray, isn't it? It's been a blessing to many of you already, hasn't it?
Yes.
And how many can say your prayer lives are becoming more meaningful? Raise up your hand, let me see. Okay, amen. I believe it's a blessing. All right, so as I was saying, I believe that your prayer life is becoming more meaningful, amen. As I go through the book myself, I'm becoming more and more blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right, but before we go into that, I want you to make some confessions with me this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Say, my church is growing.
My church is growing.
Say, the church is growing.
The church is growing.
The church is growing in beauty and excellence.
The church is growing in beauty and excellence.
The church is prosperous. Say, this church is prosperous.
This church is advancing.
This church is growing.
This church is growing.
This church is becoming established.
This church is becoming established.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let me share a verse with you. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Luke chapter 2 verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Stature means size.
Wow.
Amen. And in favor with God and with man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you start a church, you've given birth to a child.
Right.
Do you understand? Now, when you've given birth to a child, after the birth, the next important thing is for the child to grow.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The child has to grow.
Amen.
He cannot remain a child. Amen.
Amen.
So when Jesus was born, he was born as a baby. You know, nobody is exempt from that type of a beginning. Even when God has to visit the earth, he has to enter like a baby.
Wow.
Do you understand? No one can come into this earth and just start like a grown-up. You have to start like a baby. But after you begin as a baby, then you have to grow. Hallelujah. So verse 40, after Jesus had been born as a child, the Bible says, and the child grew. Hallelujah. I see this child growing. Say, this child is growing. And waxed strong in spirit. Say, this child is waxing strong in spirit. Say, this child is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger spiritually. This child is becoming stronger. Hallelujah. And the child was filled with wisdom. Say, there's a lot of wisdom in this child. Say, this child is growing, is becoming wiser and stronger. And the grace of God was upon him. Say, the grace of God is multiplying. Say, the grace of God is multiplying on this child. Hallelujah. Do you believe what you're saying? The grace of God is multiplying on this child. Verse 52. Then, you know, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Say, the stature of this child is changing. Say, the stature of this child is changing. That stature of this child is changing. And this child is increasing with in favor. See, favor with God is increasing. Favor with man is increasing. Say, more and more people are attracted to this church. More and more people are attracted to the work of God here. More and more people are attracted to what God is doing. Because the child is increasing in favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering. Amen. Wow, what a blessing. Right. So let's continue. Take your books and let's continue. Today I want to share with you from chapter whatever. Amen. Which chapter is whatever? Okay. I want to go to the back a little bit and share with you on how to pray all kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. How to pray with all kinds of prayer. And that is chapter 7. Amen. How to pray all kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing you need to understand is that there are kinds of prayer. That prayers are not all the same. Hallelujah. That all prayer is not the same. And even though the person we pray to is the same, the prayers we pray to him vary from time to time. Hallelujah. Amen. And from situation to situation, the prayers we need to pray or we get to pray change. Hallelujah. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. The Bible says we must pray. It says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. It says praying with all prayer and watching, praying with all prayer, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. Amen. So right there, you can see the Bible says that we must use all kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. It's like telling somebody, you need to learn to cook all kinds of foods. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Even when you're feeding the same person, the kinds of foods must change from time to time. Isn't it? You can't feed the person with the same type of food regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation. Do you see what I'm saying? It is, you know, I just came back from visiting Pastor Danson in St. Thomas. Was it he who was telling me this? He said that it is only after he moved to that place that he realized that people can have beer for breakfast. Wow. Yeah, I mean, a person's breakfast is beer. You know, he had never seen anything like that before. I bet you haven't heard that before. Have you? I mean, it's an island where people like to drink a lot. I mean, at the airport, as you just step out of the plane and you sort of come to the arrival hall, there's a tray with little cups of rum. For free, everybody. Yeah, and you can drink as much as you want. It's just free, just, you know. So as I was leaving the place and we were in a line boarding the plane, then I hear this lady ask one of the officers, I mean, don't you give us the same treat that you gave us when we're coming in? It's like, as we're going out of the place, can you not just give us one last treat? Just bless us with some rum, you know. He said, I didn't know what it was. I just saw people gathering around it and flowing. So I also walked there to get. And when I got there, I asked, what is this? So this is rum. It's just free rum for everybody, you know. But What I'm trying to say is that different foods are for different times, and different circumstances and different situations call for certain and different kinds of foods. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why there are no soups on the plane. Do you see? There are no soups on the plane. Even though, because it's not appropriate for that type of situation. You get it? And especially there is no African type of soup. Do you get it? Yeah. You know, with a strong, you know, flavor and a strong... You get it? Goat flavor. You know, cow, snails, mushrooms, all mixed together to form one big zoo of a soup. It's not like that. Hallelujah. So that kind of a meal is a kind of food that you eat in a different situation. You eat that kind of food when you have time. Do you see what I'm saying? You take your time, you sit down, and you eat that kind of food. And when you're eating such food, in order to feel it, you need to eat it with your fingers. You get it? Just to, so that the spoon doesn't break that contact. You get it? That intimacy between you and what you love. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't need the spoon to come between you and what you love. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. Well, so prayer is like that. Do you understand? Prayer is not a one-size-fits-all type of thing. There are different kinds of prayer and different... And for your prayer life to develop, you need to become an expert at the different kinds of prayer that need to be prayed in different kinds of situations. Hallelujah. Now, the other word I want you to observe in that verse is the word perseverance. That prayer goes with perseverance. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. You know, watching means staying awake. And then it says, staying awake goes along with perseverance. You understand? He says, if you're going to be able to stay awake and pray, if you're going to be able to pray for as long and as often and as fervent as your prayers need to be, you need to bring perseverance to bear on your prayers. Can I have an amen? You need to bring perseverance to bear on your prayers. You need to persevere. That means the temptation to stop will always be there. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, one of the common feelings people have is that if it's difficult, then it means it's not supposed to be done. Do you see what I'm saying? So people do not like to do something, or people sometimes skip doing something because they assume the fact that it's difficult means you're not meant to do it, or that it's understandable if you don't do it. Are you following what I'm saying? But you see here that the fact that the Bible attaches the word perseverance, I mean these three words, watching, perseverance, praying, always, and then all prayer. It's a family of words that are traveling together. Do you see? Which is a combination of activities and also what it takes to be able to perform that activity. Do you see? And also even the different seasons and times that activity needs to be performed. Amen. So if you're praying and you feel like stopping, you should know that you're not alone. It's a natural feeling that goes with prayer. It is expected, or you should expect it any time you pray, to be tempted to stop, to be tempted to sleep, especially if you want to pray a little bit into the night. One of the first visitors you will have is sleep. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because if you've gone through your day and you're trying to settle, and when everyone is supposed to be sleeping, it's gotten kind of quiet, and then you rise up and and based on your understanding and or maybe a burden or interest you have, or even just out of a mere desire to be an above average Christian.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Who knows that you need to pray? You decide, let me just pray for some 30 minutes before I go to bed. You should not be surprised that 5 minutes into that prayer, you will begin to be tempted to fall asleep. That's when you need to call on perseverance. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that's when you need to call on perseverance. That's when you need to call on watching. And you need to call on these other elements that go with prayer. Do you understand? So pray, when you go and you gather yourself to pray, you need to bring these other things along. Otherwise, it's like you have a salad without a dressing. Do you see what I'm saying? Is when you go to pray, it's like you're trying to make a salad. But what we are saying is that to make a salad is a good idea, but the leaves don't go by themselves. Otherwise, you become like a goat. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. The thing goes with some other things. So you've got the leaves, you've got the vegetables, but you need some other things to make this thing complete. Do you see? A lot of people go to prayer without the other things. And so your prayer lives don't go very fine. Your prayer times don't really amount to much. Because you have arrived alone. Just like if you came to me and I served you with a salad and there's no dressing, you're not going to have a great feeling in your mouth. Isn't it? Because it's not, and you may not eat much. Do you see? Maybe just to be nice to me, you may eat a little. But you see that you're not enjoying what you're eating. Because you're doing it by itself without the other components that make it complete. Prayer must go with watching. It must go with perseverance. A strong determination to resist the urge to stop praying and to fall asleep. Hallelujah. That is why you need to walk around sometimes when you pray. That's why you need to pray even aloud so you hear yourself. You see what I'm saying? It's not easy to fall asleep shouting. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes people criticize prayers and do you have to pray so loudly? Do you have to? Well, it's not for anything. Except that you, as we read on, you see that Jesus himself prayed loudly. Do you understand? There was a day when Jesus prayed, the Bible says, with strong cryings and groanings. So it's in the Bible. So maybe if not for any reason, for the sake of copying Jesus, who is not a bad person to copy, isn't it? Yeah. So for the sake of copying Jesus, sometimes you need to get loud in your prayers. But what I'm saying is that there are other reasons for praying loudly. You pray loudly so you can stay awake and alert. That is it. That is it. So if somebody asks you, why are you praying so loudly? Does your prayer have to... Do you think God cannot hear? You say, it's not about God, it's about me. Do you see what I'm saying? I am not shouting because God cannot hear. I am shouting to keep myself praying. That's the thing. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's how it needs to be. All right. So now the first kind of prayer that you must learn how to pray is the prayer of consecration. Can you see it? Prayer, that's the next page, page 98. The prayer of consecration. In this type of prayer, you offer yourself to the Lord for his perfect will to be done. God loves his children. God loves his children who want his will to be done. Do you understand? And if you pray this prayer of consecration, God will be more likely to listen to your prayers. Some people only know, give me, give me, give me prayers. There are times God is not interested in answering such prayers. He wants to hear a prayer of consecration. Isn't it? Learn to spend hours asking the Lord for his will to be done. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane for 3 hours. He had only one prayer topic. He did not pray about 17 different things. And what is that prayer topic? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. He prayed saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Hallelujah. Every Christian must have the prayer of consecration as one of his prayer topics. Pray that God will perform his will in your life. This prayer topic puts all other prayer topics in their right perspective. That is why I mention it as the first type of prayer that you need to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, sometimes our clever selves make us feel that we know better what we want compared to what God wants for us. Isn't it? Sometimes we feel like, ask for God, if you dare say thy will be done, then he is going to offload a pack of undesirables into your life. That the worst mistake you can make is to give God complete charge over any particular area of your life. Because if you do, God is going to give you the exact opposite of what you want. Hallelujah. And so that kind of thinking makes it very, very difficult for many Christians to pray this prayer of consecration. To pray and say, Lord, concerning this area, let your will be done. Hallelujah. But let's look at Jesus. Jesus was praying, and he was praying just before his sufferings were about to begin. Hallelujah. And like any normal human being, he would rather not go through that. Isn't it? So he went to the Lord and he prayed about it. And he prayed specifically asking God if it is possible. Do you see? If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. What a modest prayer. Hallelujah. That God is not against you stating what you want. Do you understand? But there is a way of praying, you see, that shows humility. You know, even in stating what you want. Because right there, Jesus is saying, to start with, he's not commanding God to do something. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's not commanding God to do something. He's just asking politely and saying, if it is possible. If it is possible. He said, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass. That even by saying, if it is possible, you leave room for God to do what he would rather do. Do you see what I'm saying? You leave room for the higher way. You see, as a human being and as a Christian, you have to believe that God's ways are higher than your ways. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
You have to be a Christian who believes that God's ways are higher than your ways. I mean, you shouldn't look too far to make you believe that you have actually, have you not ever thought of a decision or a choice you made to be the best for the time you were making it, and just 2 months down the line realize it was the worst? Has it not happened to you before? Yeah. So you shouldn't really trust your choices so much. And you shouldn't be so confident about your choices. If you have made mistakes before, you should be very wary about your choices. If you've chosen something which turned out to be the wrong thing, or which turned out, or you've chosen a path or something to do, or even said something with confidence, or believed a state of affairs to be true and found out it was not true, and be confident about something only to discover that you were wrong. If it has happened to you even once, you should be aware of the things you say. Are you getting what I'm saying? You should know that you are the error-making type. You see what I'm saying? You should know that you are prone to making mistakes. That your judgment is not perfect all the time. That sometimes your judgment lets you down. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then it says, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your understanding. Do not throw your whole weight on what you think is the case. That's what it means to lean on something. When you lean on something, you have actually put, you know, not this one. You see, but when you lean on something, you know, it means without that thing, you fall. Isn't it? If I did this and left my weight to go, I'm going to drop to the ground. Isn't it? So this is the thing that is stopping me from going to the ground. That means this is what is supporting me. So when you are leaning on your understanding, what it means is that the support for the thoughts that you have or whatever it is based on how you see it and your understanding of it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is where the support is coming from. And the Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding. And who is saying it? The one who made your understanding says, don't lean on it. Because he knows it's plastic. He knows it breaks. He knows the stuff it's made of. He knows what it responds to. He knows how it forms. You see, he knows how your understanding comes together. And he knows the components of it. And he's telling you, my friend, this is not something you lean on. And you better believe it. If you go into someone's shop and you're leaning on something and the person says, don't lean on this. Or you're sitting on something and the person says, don't sit on this. You better believe the person, or the next thing you will know is embarrassment. You will be sitting on the floor when you thought you were sitting on a stone. Are you getting what I'm saying? So learn to believe God when he says that your understanding is great, but it's not something to lean on. It's not something to rest your weight on. It cannot support your thoughts. It cannot support your faith. It cannot support the things you want. He says it is true that you have an understanding. Your understanding just means insight. It means you sort of have some insight into the matter, but he says, do not lean on your insights. Do not lean on your understanding about anything. You have to believe that God's ways are higher than your ways. That God's ways are higher than your ways. God's ways are superior to your ways. And not only his ways, but his thoughts. His thoughts, his plans are superior to your thoughts. And superior to your plans. Hallelujah. Between God and you is like what it is between you and a child. And a little child. And sometimes you watch a child trying to clean something. And you see that they're actually making it dirty. And calling it cleaning. You see, the child is trying to clean it. But she's actually destroying it. Is it not amazing how we ruin something that we're trying to protect? That the process of protecting it is actually the process that ruins it. That you would have been better off having left it alone. It should not have been touched at all by you. But as you go, set yourself to sort of fix it and to protect it, that process itself ruins it. That's how we are. And the Bible says that God's ways are higher than your ways. And you have to believe it. You have to believe it. If God says give, it shall be given to you. If God says it's better to give than to receive, the superior way says the way to get is to give. Then comes your understanding that you learned from class that if you have something and you apply a minus to it, you don't end up with more. You end up with less. Only time you get more is when the thing is negative. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's your understanding. So your understanding begins to fight against what God has said. And God says, no, no, go with my answer. Don't choose your understanding. He says, go with what I'm saying. Your understanding will mislead you. And anyone who has been around for a while has been misled by the understanding before. Hallelujah. So how long will it take to learn that lesson? How long will it take for us to learn that our understanding is not dependable? And that where your understanding is in conflict with what God says, you must choose what God says, because His ways are higher than your ways. His ways are higher than your ways. And the Bible says His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The Bible says that, as where's that verse? It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This is serious. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Wow. All you have to do is to get on a plane and fly towards the heavens. And when you are at 36,000 feet, look out of the window and you will see that you are not yet in the heavens. Do you understand? And yet the pilot says that he is 36,000 feet above the earth. You see, so if you were even to take 36,000 feet to be the heavens, then the Bible by this verse is saying that every idea of yours, God's equivalent idea, is 36,000 times better than yours. Why can't we just believe it? Why can't we just believe? You haven't made an F. Where is your F that you have made? Where are your skies? Where is your moon? Hallelujah. Amen. So you shouldn't be afraid to say, "Lord, I have an idea. If it is possible, if it is possible." See, even approaching it, you have to be careful. Do you understand? That is why Jesus spoke politely and said, "You know, please, excuse me, Lord. If it is possible, if it's not possible, that's cool. That's cool. That's the idea. That's the way you must approach God." Said, "If it is possible, if it is at all possible, let this cup pass away." Then he adds that, By the way, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, because you see, sometimes you have come out of your cleverest thought, come up with the thing that is you think is actually something that's going to help you, and actually that is the one that is taking you down. You see, so you leave a little room for rescue, because it's like somebody. Two hands behind him. One of them has something good. The other one has nothing. Then he says you should choose. And that whatever you choose, that's what you get. You know? And the person says, "I either choose for you or you choose." Then you are just thinking, you know, okay, I want left. No, right. Wait, left. Then you say right. Then as you are coming forth with your final answer, you need to leave a little room. You see, you need to leave a little room just as you are giving the person your final answer. Okay, final answer. I want whatever is in the right hand. Nevertheless, you know, not my will, but your will be done. Because you want to leave some room in case you've blown it. And Jesus knew that, you know, I'm asking this request or making this request based on how I feel. You see, it's my feelings that have driven this request. I look at what is in front of me and what is about to happen, and I don't want any of it. I can already see that it's going to be a long day as I begin this process. It's going to bring me a lot of pain. It's going to be inconvenient, you know. But I know that there's something good behind it. But all I'm asking is there a way to access that good thing without going through this? Do you see? And if it is possible, then he says, but you know best. Not my will, but let your will be done. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look. The best prayers you can pray for yourself is this prayer. The best prayer you can pray for yourself is this one. and pray that God's will be done in your business. God's will be done in your life. God's will be done in your career. God's will be done as you choose somebody, a life partner, someone to ride along with you on the journey of life. Do you understand? Yeah. That you say, God, your will be done. Your will be done. You have to acknowledge and accept your limitations. The limitations of your understanding. You can only see or believe what you see most of the time. You believe what is shown to you. What about what exists which is not shown to you? Do you see what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you rather trust someone who can see both what is being shown and what is hidden? Your vision is like that. His vision is like that. So you see the front. He sees the front and the back. Do you see what I'm saying? He's looking from above. And what he sees is the entire length of the thing. You just look at it as it presents before you. And you don't even know how deep it is. Hallelujah. And so a smart Christian prays, thy will be done. You pray and you tell the Lord, it's not my will, but what you want is what must happen. And I'm not afraid of it. Hallelujah. You should be able to tell yourself, I'm not afraid of God's will. I'm not afraid of God's will. I'm not afraid of the will of a good God for my life. Hallelujah. What evil can God do to you? When you look at this prayer and you look at the end of it, what happened to Jesus? When you read the book of Philippians, the Bible says, for this reason, God has given him a name that is above every other name. That at the mention of his name, let's read it in the book of Philippians. Elpa, can you help us? Okay, so give us that verse. Let's read it before we go quickly to one more point before we close the service. Amen. Are you learning something today? All right. Go back to from verse 6. Let's read from verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man. That means being found in the style of a man. Okay. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. This is what he was trying to abort. This is what he was asking God to change. If it is possible. Do you understand? Now look at the next verse. Verse 9. Wherefore. Now, because of this, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Do you get it? It says, wherefore, God also, in other words, God in response to this, do you see, verse 8, look at verse 8. He says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to God unto death. Even to die on the cross, he obeyed. So verse 9 says, wherefore God also, that means after Jesus had done his part, God also rose up to do his part. And that in doing his part, God's response to what Jesus did was that he would highly exalt him and give him a name which is above every name. Can you see that? And then the next verse, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth. And verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Now, this is what Jesus was forfeiting without knowing. Wow. By praying and asking that God should remove the cup, he was forfeiting all the results and all the blessings that were going to follow after drinking that cup. But what saved him is that he left a little room and he said, Lord, you know, I know I asked for this, but not what I want. Please do what you want. Do you understand? Do what you want. And then when God decided, okay, if you still want me to do what I want, then we're going to go through this painful thing. And after that, he releases all these blessings upon him because he allowed him. If he had prayed the prayer and said, Lord, you know, in the name of Jesus, because that's how you would pray, and said, Lord, this cup, I'm not having any of it. I declare and I remove this cup. And I command this cup to arise and to relocate out of my life and to move into the desert. You see, and the arrogance with which we pray sometimes, that you don't even know what you're forfeiting. That as you are sucking the cup, you are sucking the high exaltation, you are sucking, you know, the name that is above every name, that at the mention of the name, a name that has recognition in heaven, in the things above, in the things on the earth, and things under the earth, the name has significance in the underworld. And you just arrogantly shove away such a privilege with your bindings and losings with such confidence. Does it make sense what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So perhaps you should be a bit more humble than you have been in your prayers. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. In your declarations. I declare it shall not come nigh my dwelling. Meanwhile, perhaps you needed to come near your dwelling so that God can qualify you for something much higher than what you're going through. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do not allow your flesh to lead you, or to mislead you for that matter. Do not allow your feelings to mislead you. You must trust in the Lord with all your heart and believe that his ways are higher than your ways. Just how God is going to turn something round for your good, you don't know it. And if you don't know it, you shouldn't be surprised, because he said his ways are higher than your ways. If his ways were equal to your ways, you would understand them very easily. The reason why you don't understand what God is doing, the reason why you can't see how God is going to do it, is because his ways are higher than your ways. Do you see what I'm saying? The reason why she doesn't know the square root of 32 is because your ways are higher than her ways. Do you know the square root of 32? You don't. Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The reason why she doesn't know something like that is not that it doesn't exist or that it can't be known. It's just that her mind cannot grasp something like that. Do you see what I'm saying? But you know something like that, because your ways are higher than her ways, and your thoughts are higher than her thoughts. So just because her mind cannot relate to it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And you have to think about all the things your mind cannot relate with. You cannot see how God can lift you from where you are to the place of your dreams and perhaps beyond them. You cannot see how God can make you who comes from a poor background. You can't see how God can turn things around and cause you to be a blessed person. You cannot see how God can take things around and move some things and shift things, you know, and change something to cause you to come to a certain place where you never imagined or expected that you would ever be. Do you understand? Sometimes we're guarding our lives so much. Do you understand? Because we've seen sometimes so much of the negative things, so much misfortune, so much poverty, so much sickness, so much pain, that you have arrived in life with a determination to put a permanent gap between you and any of the things you have seen while you're growing up. Do you understand? And any road that does not appear to be leading away from that experience is a road you will never take. Yeah. But you need to trust in the Lord. You need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. And be able to pray the prayer of consecration. You take time and just pray and say, Lord, I don't even know. When I say, let your will be done, I don't even know what this will is. You see, but the thing is that it is not only God's will that includes unpleasant experiences. Even your will also includes unpleasant experiences. Is it not true? Yeah, even your will, even what you are choosing, also includes unpleasant experiences. So why are you afraid of God's own? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Choose God's will for your life. And it will be a great blessing to you. Hallelujah. Look at how Jesus, the Bible says, that at the mention of his name, every knee should bow. Man, that was really close. He almost lost all of this.
Wow.
Almost. Wow. If God had answered his prayer when he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. And the Lord said, okay, it's passing. Much more would have passed than the cup. You see, and maybe as the cup would have passed and he would see what is at the tail end of it, he said, oh, Lord, could you bring it back? Can I have that cup, please? But we never know what is at the end of the cup. Do you understand? You never know what is at the bottom of a cup until after you've drunk it. Do you realize how sometimes you're drinking your chocolate and you didn't know that the bulk of the sweetness was actually at the bottom of it? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And the only way, you can't go down there and look there and see, the sweetness is here. Okay, then let me start drinking. No. You have to take it as is offered to you and drink it and drink it. And then as you're drinking to the end, then what is really at the bottom of the cup starts to show up. And you find out the end of the cup is sweeter than the beginning. Hallelujah. I pray that you will all have the courage to pray, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Let your will, I'm not afraid of it. And I'm not afraid to commit myself to you. I'm not afraid to choose what you want for me. I know that you can make better choices than I can ever make. That you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Your ways are higher than my ways. And your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I surrender to your thoughts. It's scary, Lord, but I still choose it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. And God is not afraid for you to be honest. When you say, Lord, it's scary, it doesn't bother him. That you acknowledge that, you know, I'm really scared, but I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Instead of saying, I'm scared, so I won't do it. That's leaning on your understanding. Because it's frightening. It's frightening. It's frightening to you. So many frightening things are not frightening at all. Many frightening things do not have any danger in them at all. Sometimes when you carry a child and you want to show the child something, maybe you go to Six Flags or something and you want to take her on one of the rides and you want to show her something. I mean, she's so scared. I mean, when our kids were growing up, they were very scared of stepping on the escalator at the airport. You see, like you know, you have been walking, then suddenly you get to this piece of floor that is moving, you know. Okay, then you're supposed to get on it. And you're just wondering, you know. Meanwhile, it's not scary at all.
Yeah.
And you have to trust the person who has brought you to it.
Wow.
That they will not bring you to a bad place. Even though it looks scary to you. And I can imagine, put yourself in the shoes of a little child. This is the first time you are seeing a piece of floor that moves. So to you and in your world, it's so scary and it's understandable. And it's okay. I'm yet to see anybody spank their child because we're scared of it. No. God is not bothered that you are scared of the experience. But what he wants you to do is to take that step anyway, even though you are scared, and to trust him that he has your hand and he's holding you and he will take you through the experience. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I think our time is up anyway. So we have to continue next time. Amen. What time is it? Okay, yeah. So we'll just close and we'll continue next time. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Wow. Let's just bow our heads, everybody. Just pray for a moment and say, Lord, I know I've been scared by your will in the past, but today the fear to commit all to you is gone. The fear of committing everything to you, I'm overcoming that fear today in the name of Jesus. The fear of saying, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done. Your will for my life, your will for my future, your will for my career, your will for my marriage, my future marriage, your will for where I will live, your will for what I'll do. Because of which I've never been able to pray, thy will be done. But today, I'm going to pray that prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer with courage. I'm going to pray like Jesus and say, the Lord, let your will, not my will, but your will be done. That I choose what you choose for me. That whatever you choose for me is better and will be better in the end than anything that I choose for myself. And you need to believe that. You need to believe that. You need to believe that. One day a man called Lot chose a place that he thought was the best of places. In the end, he had to be evacuated out of that place just to save his life. And even then, he lost his wife. Our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. And most of the time, he's way above our best of thoughts. His ways are much higher than the very best of our ways. So pray this morning. Just take a few moments and pray. Lift up your hands and just pray the prayer of consecration to God and say, Lord, I consecrate myself to you, my life, my future, what I will become, my career, who I'll marry. I just lay it all before you and I say, let your will be done. Today I say, Lord, that I'm not afraid. The fear is gone. The fear is gone. The fear is gone. I'm not afraid anymore to give you lordship over my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray the prayer of consecration today. And we come before you in humility and we say, Lord, just like Jesus, not our wills, but that your will be done. Your will be done, O God, in every area of our lives. Do what pleases you, Lord. Do what fits your plan, Lord. Do what serves your plans and your purposes for our lives, for this church, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for teaching us and for opening our eyes to this truth in the name of Jesus. May we not lose blessings, the greater life, the higher life, the exalted life. May we not lose it because of our base choices, which are just based on our understanding and the lack thereof, the absence of foresight, our inability to see far enough into the future to know what is good for us. I pray, Lord, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us from our fears, deliver us from our own ways and from our thoughts. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Amen. Hallelujah.